Welcome to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson.
Welcome to our next episode of the Self-Study Project. This is Stephanie and we have Jenna with us today. And we'd like to make our episodes timeless, if you will, you know, not centered around necessarily news of today, because we want to be able to pull it up and listen to it anytime. But, you know, it is currently July of 2020 and there's a lot going on, isn't there, Jenna?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah, the whole 2020 really. And so we're 7 months deep into a transformative phoenix like year for the world, and this episode is really gonna kind of bring up a lot of those things, and I have no doubt that this episode might meet contention. Frankly, I'm used to it. Doesn't mean I like it, but since I regularly fight for people's medical rights by opposing mandation of vaccination, not because of my own position, you know, it's just the freedom of mandation or the tracing and tracking agendas for COVID or animal cruelty, plant-based nutrition, toxic-free products and lifestyle when there's toxic stuff everywhere, non-GMO, pesticides, whatever, the list goes on. And in my life, I have rallied against racism, gave public speeches, fighting for schools, co-founded high school volunteer programs for community service for troubled youth, donated to causes supporting all of the above. And I mean, I'm the kind of person who speaks up against fat jokes, mom jokes, racial slurs, redheaded slander, mostly because I am one. No, mostly because it's just not okay. And at this moment, you know, I speak up against, you know, well, I was about to say racism, but, and, you know, some of the other things, but really what I speak up against is the hatred happening between people. It's like we are in a new form of world war. It's a civil world war, meaning that it's people against people fueled by political agendas masked as medical expertise or genuine real issues, but masked behind something to make people fight people. And that's like a new kind of war. But we've got racism, white privilege, and then a bunch of piggyback issues that coincide with issues of racism. But what's happening is, because I am and I'm going to use white and black and things like that for the sake of the description here, but there is a lot of this attacking happening, like cyberbullying white people against white people for their cause, masked people against unmasked people for COVID, and we, you know, sexual preferences. And even Jenna, and if you're listening to this, you probably know one of us. Jenna has been, well, we're not going to call her a victim because we know Jenna's no victim. She overcomes. And that's what this whole podcast is for, is not to take on victimization. But she has been experiencing cyberbullying too in her life. And oh gosh, I mean, I was talking about this to somebody else, and I was the kind of kid in high school that got rocks thrown at me for being, you know, the most likely to succeed, sang the national anthem, teacher's pet kind of a high school kid. You know, it's why are people, Jenna? Oh,
I know, right? It's like, it's so such intense times. And I love the way you put all that, because it's like, in a nutshell, I mean, there's just this major, like you said, it's a war, and it's a war to pit people against people, and to, you know, it's just such division, and we're feeling that on all levels. And so it's like, whenever we see agendas like that, we can really like take a moment and pause and really reflect upon that. And, but yeah, mm-hmm. It's everywhere, and it's intense times for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really, with like the Self-Study Project and this opportunity to any time triggers come up, or like Michael Singer talks about thorns, any times that somebody moves your thorn. So there's a thorn in your side. If you're not familiar with this story, listeners, there's a thorn in your side from some sort of experience, maybe from childhood, maybe in your mid-20s, whatever thorn got inserted from an experience. And a lot of times we're out there telling people, don't touch my thorn. Like, oh, you triggered my thorn. It's your fault for moving my thorn. But imagine, even just literally, if you had a thorn, would you not pull it out?
Right.
Right. Would you keep getting mad at your shoe for poking your thorn when it's not the shoe's fault? It's no one else's fault for triggering thorns that are in you. And then afterwards, wounds that might be there, and then scar tissue and the memories of your wounds and your thorns. It's our responsibility as individuals to change ourselves, to self-reflect, to go within, to find the core issue of something and to evaluate it. And that's what the self-study project is about. Even with, you know, the people who are being very vocal and really sharing a lot of judgment, and really, if it's not love, then it's on the side of hate, hate or fear or something like this with regards to the coronavirus. It is like, let it be then, if you are a person at risk, let it be the mirror that helps you and inspires you to no longer be someone of a health risk by changing the nutrition, by changing the lifestyle, by changing the outlook. And if it's something that cannot be changed, then there's still answers. There's still ways to go within. And one of the best examples of going within is James Baldwin. Are you familiar with James Baldwin, Jen?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
And in the book, The Fire Next Time, which he wrote in 1963, actually, before I even tell you this, let me just say, I want to be clear, and I know Jenna holds the same opinion. Racism is never okay. Take people as they are, let people show you who they are, and then allow people room to grow. But I also want to say, before I move forward, is if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. Those two things I had to say before we move on, because Jenna and I both have, done a lot to help the person who even sees themselves as an underdog, even if they aren't one. even just in your surf camp that you have going right now, and to watch, and I know you can speak more to it, to watch somebody who would have had fear and anxiety shine, you know, to bring them out. It's like, we're there to help people outside of themselves. And James Baldwin talking about this thing about the desire of the need to change within, start with yourself. James Baldwin, 1963, wrote The Fire Next Time. And he was a Black gay man from Harlem, born in the 20s. So talk about adversity of the time. Yet he was also known to say, quote, "The question of color, especially in this country, operates to hide the graver question to the self. That is precisely why we like to call it, quote, the Negro problem, is so tenacious in American life, and it is so dangerous. One can only face in others what one can face in oneself. And on this confrontation depends the measure of our wisdom and of our compassion. This energy is all that one finds in the rubble of vanished civilizations and the only hope for ours." And unquote. And so, you know, can't we realize that we're all maintaining these barriers, whether it be vaccinations and no vaccinations, some vaccinations, vaccine injury, sexual interests, just the rights to wear a mask, to not wear a mask, the need to wear one or not wear them. And then we come down to what's really been happening a lot right now in our community, and that's racism and white privilege and things like that, keeping up the separation by perpetuating the issues. Baldwin was known to say, quote, "The perpetual challenge posed by this problem is always somehow perpetually met." And that's, you know, he goes on to write a whole bunch more, but it's the exact example. If somebody can talk about how much they realized the issue was within them, because he was also said to have, in another book, he's also known to say that the color of his skin stood between himself and himself. He actually, it's quote, in America, the color of my skin had stood between myself and me. In Europe, that barrier was down. Nothing is more desirable than to be released from an affliction, but nothing is more frightening than to be divested of a crutch. It turned out that the question of who I was not solved because I had removed myself from the social forces which menaced me. These forces had become interior, and I had dragged them across an ocean with me. The question of who I was had at last become a personal question. The question was to be found within me. I think there is always something frightening about this realization. I know it frightened me. Unquote. Like, I have chills. Like, to me, that's the thing that everyone needs to do, is to realize what comes from within you that you continue to perpetuate, right? I mean, even myself with an autoimmune diagnosis in my early 20s, anytime a symptom comes up, guess what I do? I have a tendency to perpetuate my suffering as a result of an earlier diagnosis. When why not we think, speak, act, you know, write as if we do not have that affliction, which is where that quote comes in, that if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them.
Yes, and that the greatest change that we can make in the world, and that's what I love about this podcast, right, is that it is so much about self-reflection. It's taking and owning accountability for our lives, and it's just so powerful to have conversations. As you were talking, I was thinking about how that's becoming more and more important, just to actually have conversations and ask the question, like, how did you come to that conclusion? Mm-hmm. You know, being able to, you know, sit around a campfire, and we used to listen to our life, you know, each other's life stories and the lens in which we see life through. And, but it's each responsibility of each human being to, like, actually take that accountability on for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's less about, you know, like, outwardly policing, right, other people into mm-hmm. our ideas or views, but about listening and then having a conversation about asking each other, how do we come to those conclusions? It's like that would bring so much more expansion and greater insight and understanding. And that's what I've loved. I mean, I totally look forward to these podcasts and having, you know, these conversations, like, you know, you and I, both Stephanie and I have conversations in a way to help make sure that we're seeing and viewing things broad enough to open and expand. And when we kind of get that peripheral view, right, it's an expansive, more energetic way of looking at life. Like you are, you know, I can imagine that the world looks quite differently for you, Stephanie, when you are flying mm-hmm. than when you are on ground, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the view just gets super wide. And I say that a lot. Little call come in. did you hear that?
I heard you go away.
Oh, okay. So maybe I only heard it. So yeah. But I talk about this, like, path of life, right? And when we get to the top of the mountain is when we can see everything very clearly, but a lot of life is on the pathway. And mm-hmm. so we need to be really careful with each other and have more compassion and love and understanding that our view is going to be different than each other's because of the view in which we see it. But I just remembered a story about my middle daughter too. And it's powerful in the way that I think it helps for humanity, because humanity needs healing. And what we can tell about right now is that there's a whole lot, what I like to say is remodeling the systems and structure which are in place. So mm-hmm. we have these things that are showing up that are saying, I truly need healing. Because if we see, you know, an open wound physically on our arm, we could ignore it or we could help heal it. And so mm-hmm. the question is like the debate can sometimes be interesting around how that solution of how to heal that wound. But there is a powerful.
You mean like Neosporin or herbs or, you know, that kind of.
Yes.
Energy. Yeah.
Totally. There you go. I know. Right. Cause there's that viewpoint. I'm like, how do we heal it? But often what I'm even hearing is not even about the actual ways in which to heal it. I'm only hearing, and I think across the board, and I you know, feel it in the media, is that really it's just to heighten emotions and not get to any resolution or any solution. Yeah. and just keep in the, what you called, keep in the thorn, keep in the like blame, keep in the victimization on all levels. And it's like, is that really going to help? No, probably not. And so there is, though, you know, the whole shadow work. Yes, we do address it. We do see it. We need to actually know what is going on. And so, yeah, when I was thinking about my daughter, I remember she came in from being outside and she ran in and she was like, Mom, you know what? If you get really low down into the grass, and you start, and she started like moving her mouth, like she saw the deer in the grass close by her doing, she says, if you get down low like them and you eat like them, they don't get scared and they can stay, they stay there, you know? And basically she's like witnessing, you know, this, you know, reaction of like, I'm trying to understand them. What is what I got out of it? Like, I want to get on their level. I want to know, I don't want them to be afraid of me and stuff. So, so it's like that idea of like, could we do more of that in our interactions with one another in creating more, you know, a bridge across from one viewpoint to another.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Because, you know, because we are born sometimes with opportunities or differences, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, color. It, for example, people who are born with some kind of health issue, you know, and, you know, it get down to brass tacks, if you will, you know, have the conversations, be able to ask without the emotional response or just discussing the problems about, you know, how, what is life like for them? You know, what needs do they have? What celebrations do we need to know about that they come with? Because, you know, I love that. It gave me like tingly goosebumps all over to imagine your daughter doing that and getting down in that perspective. Children are amazing for that. And that's, you know, we've seen a lot of, like you said, discussions of the problems. People just, something you had said a while ago, it was something like fighting fire with fire is the people are just like, you know, here's a problem. Oh, I had one too. Let me tell you about my problem. And oh, well, there, here's a problem on this side as well. And we're all like, again, fighting for our limitations, and you get to keep them if all you're doing is fighting for them. But we need, like you said, solutions. And that kind of brings up an issue that's happening right now is this discussion of something called white privilege, which even the very nature of trying to continue that language is creating separation and segregation. You know, Morgan Freeman had said at one time that the only way to stop racism is to stop talking about it. And that he said at one time, I'm going to stop calling you a white man, and I'm going to ask that you stop calling me a black man. And then you have people right now who are saying, no, we have to see color. How can we not see color? And I actually think that's true. I think that color is what makes things, you know, sometimes quite beautiful. The color is not the issue. What we need to celebrate in people is culture. But And the uniqueness, like the way the deer eats, the way that somebody who doesn't have arms can play the piano. let's celebrate that, you know, not the issues. And why don't you make pianos that are made for toes? You know, it's like, I'll just learn to play that way. I'll just learn that way of living. We'll celebrate that. And, you know, I was thinking of one of the best examples of celebrating culture that is not color related or color dependent is New Orleans. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I haven't, but I would love to have that experience. Yeah. Did you go there recently?
I did. Yeah. My friend actually took me there for my birthday, and it was a complete surprise. It was amazing. And what was also amazing is how there is such a culture to New Orleans that is absolutely not color dependent. And so when you think of what needs to be celebrated, because a lot of people say, you know, but I want you to see that of my color, I think that where the solution lies, because the color perpetuates the separateness when we're the same. Like, there's no separation if you pick color as the method to separate us. Yeah, sure, there are differences, and we classify and we identify that I'm a girl, you know, that's the way I identify. And but how do you identify? And often the way we do is by our culture. And one of the exercises we did in YTT in yoga teacher training, and that you actually had learned from your own yoga teacher training, is the answer to who am I, right? And right. So many people through yoga teacher training is like, oh, I'm a nurse, you know. Oh, I'm a mom of three wonderful girls, and one of them feeds like a deer.
Yeah.
That's you, just in case you didn't know. And you know, that's, there's that, it's so much bigger. It's so much bigger than that. And that is the perpetual question. And we can celebrate things like this culture, where you're going to find many different colors celebrating a culture that is New Orleans, the music that is, you know, known from New Orleans. But like Baldwin, who goes to Europe, and he basically became this anonymous neighbor. And he then had to identify within himself that he kept up the barriers. He expected it. And that thing that he says, that he was frightened to be divested of a crutch. And I find that with people all the time with their health. You know, when I say, well, who are you beyond your disease? That people want to keep that disease as part of their identity. And then they fight for it. And it's like, when was the last time you heard someone who broke their ankle 10 years ago say, oh, I can't walk around town. I have a broken ankle. They let that go, right? And right. But they learned some amazing things. It's like the celebration that needs to happen, or even this notion of white privilege. You know, we need to rename these things. White privilege is, and I read this, I don't actually, unfortunately, remember who wrote it, but so it's not me. I'm not this awesome. But what they said was that it's we need to call it the power of normal. You know, you walk in to a first aid, you know, to get first aid at a store, and you find flesh colored Band-Aids. And what colored flesh are they made for? We need to have the power of normal reach more people, because the power of normal is tailored around a certain culture in our area, as well as a certain color in this area of the world that we live in. But we can't keep just fighting for and putting on our signs and continuing to fight for what separates us. We have to start going within, identifying, you know, what that is, and then start celebrating and, you know, creating opportunity for everything. You know, we can't just, well, you have very curly hair. So you actually probably know. In fact, I remember we were at our retreat, and I was like, Jenna, can you believe I forgot my shampoo? And you're like, here you go. Here's mine. And it's for curly hair. I'm like, right. Okay, let's see what happens, you know? And, but we need more of that. And it comes from these questions. It comes from, like, your daughter, you know, getting on the perspective of someone else, having conversations, not attacking people for conversations, for questions. Yeah, I got a little passionate there.
Yeah, I love it. It's so great. And then when you were talking to, I was thinking about, like, how in tribes, I can't remember the name of the tribe, you might, but where they put the wrongdoer, right, in the middle of the circle. And have you heard this, where they lash out, not lash out, I shouldn't say that, but they call out, almost in kind of a lot of, with intensity, but emotion, all that they are, all the potential that they have. So here, like, say in the tribe, you know, this wrongdoer steals from somebody, they remind him not of the stealing, but they remind him of all that he is, that is beyond the stealing, right? So to me, it's like, okay, solution. Like, we know that there is healing upon, there's injustice, there's corruption on our planet, there's inequality and such. So if how might we empower, you know, through that mentality of, like, where do we want to see ourselves going? And that's some of the things that, I mean, definitely, and I know it's part of being a Sagittarius and being optimistic, but for me, I cannot handle when I hear day in and day out, right, just the problem after problem and nobody talking about solutions. And I'm like, is that, it feels like it's very innate in me as a Sagittarius to be like, okay, let's optimistically sort through this and really look for a solution. And if I don't do that, I notice that it's like in my DNA, right, to just not feel good. And so the way, and we all are going to be different because we're going to call out or, you know, handle things much differently. But for me, it's like a driving force. Okay. There is a need for healing. How might we take care of that, that solution, you know? Yep. And so it's huge that we have these conversations so that we can actually see how might it feel for a child that is Black walking down the street versus a white, or, you know, we may feel very, it might be very different looking. And so those asking, you know, I love, I constantly, wherever I go, I got my hair done, asked the woman doing my hair, we were talking about different experiences and just asking, you know, how it was. She said she had an adopted brother that was Black. And she said by far he was, you know, targeted. And he, so there was, she could see that, you know, the darker the skin, you know, he was the darkest in the family. And there was adopted children from different countries and such. So the, he was, you know, like they were in the candy store and the, he was targeted as, you know, being thought that he would, he was stealing or that type of thing, you know? And then, yeah. And I feel that like, even when my children, you know, are having, are up against circumstances or certain things, instead of though, you know, creating more of a victimization to them, if they have a situation where they feel bullied or something, it's like, how might I empower them? How might I help them dissolve the problem? Because I think that's more powerful. So we all can, I think, agree there's issues, there are problems, but how we go about it is where are we being asked as humanity to evolve and take things on and really solve them in a whole different way? Because maybe how we've tried to solve them in the past, you know, at that time, that was where we were at our evolution. But the same kind of, you know, even though we're not being, we're, it's less physical war, you know, that type of thing, but there's this war on the mind and we see it and we're in the pitting against people, the information against your information, you know, saying it's science, it is science, you know? And so it's like, you know, even with the whole science thing, it's like there's a lot around that because science can be, you know, definitely does have its flaws. And the way in which science, a human being, right, takes in medicine, for one, could be absolutely wonderful for that person, you know, penicillin, for example, and absolutely horrible for another person.
Right.
So when we're talking about science, it's like, well, there's always, you know, alterations and alternatives, and not one path is going to be right for the one person. So when we're thinking about that in general, I'm finding that there's very much absolutes, and absolutes are talked about in yoga, which I love. And they talk about how the mind can does that through the ego and through the sense of wanting to control, that there's one idea, one way. And in yoga, it's like, wait a second, let's, you know, blast open our mind here. There's many ways to get to the top of the mountain. And that whenever there is an idea that, that says, nope, there's only one way, we really need to rethink that. So, so that kind of opening that there is multiple ways there in which to work with the body.
And therefore we need to allow those multiple ways and multiple methods, just like, you know, this, the causes that are happening right now and the causes, like we just had Pride Month, you know, so there's been a lot of causes. Then we had protests and riots and looting and, you know, there used to be looting and mass murders in ancient times during the solar eclipse because they were, they had no idea what was happening. Lifespans were not as long to have experienced it probably more than once. You pass down that experience. It was so terrifying that the fear-based action made people attack people. And in what ways could I be handling, you know, the issue of, let's say, racism and the BLM movement, you know, or nutrition and cardiovascular disease. If you look at who funds these programs that you think is the only way to change. So like, what is the most famous way that you can support breast cancer according to the media? It's by wearing a pink ribbon. But if you look at the funding, where does that go? Who do they support? Who do they get money from? Is that really reaching the people that you're trying to benefit? Or, you know, vegetarianism and understanding how many companies that support nutrition are actually funded from companies that injure other life forms, you know, really take advantage of other people. And then again, too, the BLM movement and the and pride and just all of this, your way of dealing with the issues are going to be different than necessarily than my way of dealing with the issues. And to our listeners, and some people are out there quietly, peacefully protesting. Peaceful protests have made incredible changes in the world. But we have other people who are doing it differently, and then people judging your method versus my method. You know, you're not doing enough, or even the accusations of, you know, if you have money, then it should be used in this form. You know, like, you have this rich normalcy, the power of normal in your life was rich. So therefore, you know, like we call rich privilege. Not the case. We can make assumptions all day long that, you know, you had access to that money and maybe you didn't, but that's what everyone else thought, or that you should be out there with a sign. If you're going to make a difference, you need to be doing what I'm doing. And you're right. It is not that way. We all have our own way, but what is sure and across the board is, like what you said, put the wrongdoer, put the injury, put the pain, put the body, put the thing that needs transmutation in the middle of the circle of our tribe, and give it, if we go to most simple words, love. Give it love, right? You tell them how great they are. What are you doing? You're giving them love. And
beautiful, yeah.
And if we're going to make changes, you know, if your fear of something is so big that you start attacking other people in order to protect you from what you're afraid of, the only way that you're going to be able to change that is through love, compassion, understanding, self-growth, evaluation, maybe changing your lifestyle so that you're not at risk for this health concern. Or when you are, I think you actually told me a story of someone whose child is at risk, and yet she didn't expect the world to change for her.
Yeah, it was powerful. She mentioned that she had an immune compromised child, but she didn't believe the whole lockdown, you know, situation needed to happen as a sacrifice, you know, like, mm-hmm. everybody shuts down for that. Mm-hmm. So she's obviously very passionate about her son and his, but yeah, I thought, you know, and there's that perspective of, like, you know, how do we maintain and protect our economy? And then, you know, she's saying, and we can still maintain and protect our, you know, our weak populations and mm-hmm. children that are compromised, and how we do that in a more balanced way, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, and I know this, I was thinking about this, and this might be far, you know, stretch for some people, but I'm just going to go for it. And I really feel, intuitive about this, that we really choose before we come to this earth school in this mm-hmm. life. I really believe we choose our skin suit. Mm-hmm. And when we really look at it, we choose these skin suits for a very purposeful reason. We know we're going to have certain, what I believe, contracts and certain situations that are going to arise. And like, so if we all might think about, okay, I chose to be, you know, this person in this life, and mm-hmm. I am in this body, and whether you believe in past lives or no, like, just that you are here right now, purposely on the planet, and how might we use the opportunity to be in our skin suit mm-hmm. in the most and best possible way to create healing and change that is going to be far reaching and lasting for generations to come. And that is healing and sustainability on an internal level, on an external level in our environment, because I really feel that, you know, these systems that we have are not sustainable. And so we can, if we could all get to an agreement that there is healing that needs to take place, but I think that's the first, you know, realization is like, wait a minute, yes, there really is healing. And then we can start to move forward into those solutions and making the best of the situation of what we've come here for, our life purpose.
Right.
And thinking about that, you know, what is my life purpose?
Love that. And what's so interesting is how much I can personally relate to that experience, where, you know, I had spoke to one of my friends who described, and he's from El Salvador, and he had described that, and his wife is Caucasian, that he's been pulled over, you know, by the color of his skin. He has been recognized by it. You know, he has been separated by it. And ironically, he and I both have a very rare autoimmune disease called dermatomyositis. And I have experienced, and I can even remember in my dating life, I'm married now, but in my dating world, knowing that if someone's going to get past this barrier that I saw, that I translated as a barrier, and that is the fact that my face is quite, you know, was quite red compared to most people. And I've had an experience where someone was reaching to hand me change. This was long before coronavirus. It had nothing to do with that. Someone was reaching to offer me change, and I put my hand out, and they wouldn't touch my hand because at the time, it was in my early 20s, there's something called Gotrin's papules that occur on the hands of people with dermatomyositis. And they look a bit interesting, you know, and they were a barrier. And in my dating life, you know, am I going to have to wear enough makeup to basically look more normal, for you to get to the inside? And that kind of, so what was fascinating, what I'm getting at, is that I did choose this experience of dermatomyositis, this experience that, you know, that got me into holistic healthcare. To tie it back to the idea that the change has to then happen from within, is I could continue to perpetuate this story that I am unlovable, unapproachable, unattractive because my face is red and I have scars all over my hands, and that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Or I had this motivation. I had this motivation to create healing on a whole person level. So I went to school for holistic healthcare. And I used what I was given as an opportunity to create healing for others. And now I let that autoimmunity go. I don't need to bring on a further suffering so that I can learn how to help that level of suffering. We can help to different levels. We can be inspired. I came in with this story, and I could either be a victim, woe is me, saddened by life, because it can be pretty severe, or you can transmute it and you can change it and you can create opportunity. And so I completely related to that on a different level, that I have experienced that myself. But you can take it as an opportunity to learn, or you can be a victim for always.
Yeah, those, all of us have challenges that will show up, and it's like, how are we going to use that, you know, challenge? Mm-hmm. And I think about that, and we've talked about in past podcasts, like how some of our greatest teachers are definitely our most painful, you know, thorns that mm-hmm. we have, or situations that have arisen. And yeah, on the planet right now, I was just thinking about my travels, and, you know, being able to be abroad and learn from other cultures and such, and it's empowering on more than one level. And I continue to be grateful for it, because even now, and being so, I love Madagascar just mm-hmm. absolutely. And it's amazing what some of the political people from Madagascar are saying. And might we even look at what other people are doing in other countries? Because mm-hmm. our media scope is so narrow that we believe that these certain ways that we're operating in our, and handling things are the only way. Mm-hmm. But I have been blown away by just even talking to a woman from Germany and how they handled some of the lockdown situations and how they have a handle on it, and kids are even going back to school. But, and this was way back even, but, I think it's fascinating, and, also other places as well. And then on, you know, Venezuela is a country that multiple times I have heard people have asked, and they're not in the media, the media won't cover it, to ask us to heed the call and alert ourselves to see what happened to them so that it might not happen to us. And I would just say, you know, not ever getting political, I'm not even about that, because I don't believe actually that the change happens from the top down. I believe it happens from us up, you know.
I agree.
And we're the ones that employs, or are the ones that are citizens responsible for our world and our country. And so when we see things that go on, even politically, we got to remember we're the ones that say they're voted in, or we, you know, can also have the opportunity to say your time in term, you know, if there's a lot of corruption, we can stand up for these things. And, but yeah, working and seeing what happened in Venezuela is just an example of just seeing, like, wait a minute, what actions can we take to make sure that, we are empowered and learning and growing, and taking in that information.
Right. You know? Yeah. It actually reminds me of, you know, one of the benefits to multi-level marketing companies is that instead of you giving 1% of yourself to 100 people, therefore you are completely spread thin. You can't really focus on yourself because, you know, there's so much distributed of yourself. You allow that person to work to their 100% potential, and it benefits everybody above them. Well, rather than doing it in the world like above and below, is if we, instead of putting 1% of my effort, like if I were to give 1% of my effort into controlling you, Jenna, like, Jenna, you need to do it this way. Jenna, you know, that's not the right way. Or, you know, 5% of my effort to my neighbor saying, you know, that's not the way you're supposed to recycle. And, you know, it's like, what if I put 100% of my effort into being the best that I can. You put, if everybody, instead of disseminating their percentage of themselves and their control and their judgment and their opinions for change and evaluation, just giving it out to everybody else in a small amount, thinking you're going to make the most change by making everybody be the way you want them to be the way that you want everyone to be. Be the best that you can be 100% of your effort, and then we're going to see change instantly and across the board and worldwide, right?
Yes, and that is the most effective way, is just to be that within. I love that example. Yeah. And so again, it goes back to, like, instead of policing outwardly, judgment outwardly, because, you know, all of that is an exchange of energy, and I see so much of it. And that's why so many are like, I want to get off social media. I'm sick of it. And it's heavy and it's too much. And it's because of the constant judgment. And so it's an energy exchange. If we can really just, instead of put past judgment, is to stop and ask someone a question, you know, or ask them, you know, where do they come up with that conclusion, or have more conversations. And and also, you know, what we think about when we pass somebody, that energy is felt. And so we can instead, you know, transmute, you know, more positivity, healing. I've heard people say, like, you know, crazy things that are so disheartening, like, if, you know, you're a, you know, grandma killer, or you're, you don't care about humanity, or you, you know, these things that are really harsh. And so
to people not wearing masks,
to not wearing masks. Mainly on that one. And then, and I'm trying to think of other topics too, where you can see on both sides, they can get really nasty to each other. And it's like, I don't believe that either one of those people really want to harm or hurt.
No.
And it's looking at, like, you know, on a very basic level, there's just multiple ways, though, again, that they might see the world and how they want to go about their health.
But. Right. Yeah, there is. And I know that this subject is so big, and it applies to everything. You know, this, the fact that we can't keep giving the energy exchange that's not going to produce what you want. You cannot continue – to put forth negative energy and expect to get positive energy back. So we need to be that change. And there's so many examples, and we could probably talk forever about it. You know, really long podcast this time, everybody. You know, we would love your feedback. If you'd like to have a conversation, you know, please do give us an email, theselfstudyproject@gmail.com. We enjoy thinking new ways, and we invite you to do the same and be the change that you want to see. I know it's cliche, but it's actually real.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Be the change. And we are grateful to spend this time with you on this podcast.
Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Self Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection, with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson. Subjects cover holistic health, nutrition, yoga, philosophy, spirituality, astrology, parenting, relationships, conscious living, sustainable practices, and so much more. At no time does this podcast offer medical advice and is for educational purposes only. It remains your decision to pursue any information, and do not hold your hosts or their guests liable. More information available at theselfstudyproject.com.